If a man finds himself in hell, it's 100% because of his own doing. Jesus point blank told us there are certain things in hell that we wanted no part of. He told us there's fire in hell. There's worms that eat flesh that never die that are in hell. There are sounds in hell that no man has ever heard. And they're bad, bad, bad people who are in hell this morning. This morning as we consider what hell is, I wonder, church, I wonder if we could hear from someone in hell, if we could just hear their voice, if we could hear their testimony, would it make a difference? Because last week we heard what Jesus had to say. But listen, if we could hear a testimony of someone who was in hell this morning, would it make a difference? I just wonder if we could hear firsthand testimony, if it would make a difference in somebody's life today. If we could hear a testimony, would it finally be enough? Would it finally give up? Would we finally give in to what Jesus really wants in our life? Would we finally put the futile pursuits of this earth aside and accept Jesus as our personal Savior? Hey Christian, if you could hear a firsthand testimony from someone who has spent time in hell, would you finally start serving God the way you should have been all of your life? This morning, we're going to hear from a man who has spent some time in this place called hell that we learned about last week. And church, before I even read the scripture, I want you to understand that this morning, right now, today, 2,000 years later, this man that we're going to listen to and consider this morning, he is still in a place called hell. Brother Kyle, what's the necessity? Why are you really emphasizing on hell here lately? Past 2 weeks. Why? I heard it said not long ago, Mark, from a lady. She said, why don't Baptist preachers preach on hell anymore? Where's the urgency? Where is the urgency, church? Where is our, not just Baptist preachers, but where is our urgency? Have we dumbed it down and have we put it in our mind's eye? Well, you know, God loves us so much that He would never make a person stay in hell for all eternity. Listen, it's not my opinion. Scripture says they're there. I don't have to like it. I don't have to understand it. But Scripture is true, amen? And if Scripture is true, we need to understand that this man that we're going to talk to and talk about this morning, we're going to consider, he's still there. And it's a terrible place. So let's look with me. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Very familiar scripture. Luke 16 verse 19. Scripture says this. Now, let's stop here for a second. As you look at this scripture, what color is it? Red. So what does that mean? Jesus said it. So if Jesus said it, is it important? Is it true? Can we live by it? Can we believe 100% of what's being said? Yes, we can. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 says this. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they should not pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray you therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, or brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also shall come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that from one that rose from the dead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you would still our hearts right now. God, I pray that you would still our minds. God, I pray that you would just help us to be content where we are. Settle us for the next few minutes, God, that we might hear a message from you, Lord, that might change our lives. God, that's what the preaching of the Word is all about. It's about changing our lives, changing our direction, changing, Lord, everything about us that we might be better servants for you. God, help us to see ourselves through this message. Help us to see you, feel your presence like we never have before. God, I pray that we'll see a clear, clear picture of who this man is and where he is right now. It'll forever change us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said, as we consider this morning Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31, first thing I want us to do is this. I want us to see what is it that we know about this rich man that we just saw and read from this scripture. What is it that we know about him? Scripture, you know, gives us some details. There's a lot of things we don't know about him, but there's a lot of things we do know about him. First thing we know about him is this. While he was alive here on this earth, alive just like we are today, this man was rich and had everything his heart's desired. He had everything any man could want, but the one thing he did not think he needed, and that's God. Church, this man was in serious trouble. And we have no clue until we die, or he had no clue until he died, how much trouble he was in. He had everything, Mark. He didn't need anything. Nothing. He lived his life in an unbelievable way. Now, I don't know what it's like to have everything that you want. I really don't. But this man was a rich man. He had it all. Now, that was most likely, you know, over there in the third world country is what we call it today. But church, I want you to understand that as people look over to us in America, we have everything. I don't care who you are today, and I don't care how little you have, you are very rich in the eyes of every person in this world. Very rich. Very rich. There aren't many of us who've had to beg for food, are there, Gary? I imagine if I had to raise, you know, any of y'all in here had to beg for food? You might have had to ask for food, but beg for food? Sit at somebody's gate and beg for the scraps to fall out? No, none of us had to do that. This man was very rich. Very rich. He wanted nothing. But you know, the one thing he needed, he couldn't see that he needed. Why? Because of all the other that he had. He was content in who he was. He was content in his possessions. He was content in all that he had. And that blinded him from seeing what he really needed, and that's God. He couldn't see that he needed God. Church, in this rich man's lost condition, while he was alive, he was never able to look beyond himself and see the needs of others. If he could see the needs of others, there's no evidence that he reached out to help any other person other than himself. He was a selfish man. Look at verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores. And he sat there and he begged for the scraps that fell off the man's table. That's all he wanted. There's no evidence that this rich man, who had everything, Keith, did anything out of his way to help this beggar named Lazarus. Scripture also tells us this. The rich man, just like all of us, soon will do, he died. And when he died, he immediately came to some real conclusions. Now, while he was on this earth, he lived sumptuously. He didn't have any worries. Does that sound like a lot of people today? Hey, listen, we think everything's fine. We go about our life doing what we want, when we want, how we want. We make plans for everything, don't we? I mean, we make plans for everything. And it's wonderful. But when we die, we're going to come to some real conclusions. Some tremendous conclusions. Christian and lost alike, we're going to come to some real conclusions when we take our last breath on earth and take our first breath in eternity. We're going to come to some real conclusions. Now, what were the conclusions that this rich man came to when he died? Well, number one, when he took his last breath, on earth, Arlene, there was no doubt. When he took his last breath on earth and it exhaled out of his body, and his eyes closed, and his eyes rolled back into his head, and all the faculties in his body just let loose, and his soul was separated from his body, and he started going down. Listen, when he took that first breath in his new life, Brother John, there was no doubt that the first thing that came to that man's mind, the very first conclusion that came to his mind, is I'm in hell! I am in hell! This isn't for me! And as this rushed through his mind, Gary, some other conclusions I can imagine immediately started taking place. I can imagine, listen, he says, listen, I'm in hell. I was wrong. I lived my life wrong. The prophets and the priests, they were right. Listen, not only that, I wasted my life. I should have done things different. I should have trusted the man named Jesus. I wonder at what point he lifted up his eyes towards heaven and said, oh Lord, what have I done? You see, Brother Frank, he had lived his life just like he wanted. Just like some of you. He went to work every day. He might have been a good man. He was just a rich man who didn't care for beggars. But listen, he could have been a good man. Had a good job. Provided for his family. He could have gotten up on Saturday morning and gone to the hunting club. Hung out with the boys. Watched the football game. Listen, he could have been just like us. But he missed out on the one thing he needed most, and that's God. And when he realized it, and he came to some conclusions, some strong, stiff conclusions, he realized that, good gracious, I've wasted my life. I should have done things differently. Can I tell you something? When you take your last breath, it's too late to come to those conclusions. Why in the world don't you come to those conclusions now? Well, I don't know, Brother Kyle. I don't know why I don't come to those conclusions. Could it be that God brought you here this morning so your sorry self could hear this message that you might change your life and come to those conclusions? Could it be? We live our lives for ourselves. Listen, wake yourself, shake yourself. Your life's not about you. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about what God wants to do in and through each and every one of you. And it can be magnificent. Unbelievable. If you'll let it. God can't use me to change anything. Do you realize that I read this past week of a man named Josiah? He was 16 years old and God used a 16-year-old to cleanse Jerusalem. 16. God can't use me. Yes, He can. But you have to want to be used and submit yourself to service. This rich man never did. He never did. And he came to the conclusion that he'd wasted his life. Wasted his life. Could have been very different. It could have been very different. But at this point, church and Scripture, we see him looking up and saying, oh Lord, what have I done? What in the world is it that I've done? Church, then he realized after he had lifted his eyes and he looked up and realized what he had done, and he saw Abraham and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, something amazing happened. Something terrible happened. When he breathed that first breath of hell and he realized what he'd done and he looked up, he started to realize that he was in torment that Jesus was talking about last week. He was in agony. He was an unbelievable torment. He realized that he was an utter torment. I wonder if this was the fire that was tormenting him. I wonder if it was the maggots that was in hell that were eating his flesh while he was alive that was tormenting him. I wonder if it was the constant horrifying sounds that tormented him. We don't know. All we know is he was tormented. Church, We cannot know this side of heaven exactly what it was that drove this rich man to do exactly what he did next. But what he did most likely has been done every day before he got there and every day since he got there by every person who wound up in hell themselves. Every person. Every person who's wound up in hell, I imagine, did the same thing this rich man did. Every person who has been in hell since then has done the same thing. The same thing that this rich man, I guarantee you they've done the same thing. Well, Brother Kyle, what is it? What is it that Scripture says that this rich man did? Number one, they begged for mercy. Scripture says he begged for mercy. Verse 21 says this, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs off his table, verse 24, and cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Begging. A rich man begging. Any of y'all ever seen that happen before? Any of y'all ever seen Donald Trump beg before? Any of y'all ever seen these Georgia socialites begging before? Anybody? All of a sudden, something's transpired. Something's taking place. He is in utter torment, and this rich man starts begging. What is it that he begged for? He begged for one drop of water. I don't know how hot you have to be for that. I don't know how thirsty you have to be for that. I don't know how long you have to be in hell to beg for one drop of water. But I know this, Tony. He'd been there long enough. He'd been there long enough. We don't know exactly how long he'd been there, but he'd been there long enough. He was begging for one drop of water. Not a glass of water. Not a gallon of water. Not a 5-gallon bucket. Not a spigot of water. Not a hose pipe of water, like we say in South Carolina. He wanted one drop of water. One drop. The rich man then learned something. Abraham told him, he says, look, you know, that's not possible. He learned that there was a great chasm fixed between heaven and hell. We need to know this. Lost person here today, you need to know this. There is a great chasm fixed between heaven and hell. Well, why is it that I need to know this? Because once you're in there, there's no getting out. There's no getting out. There's nobody who's going to come and rescue you out of hell. Those who could or would, Scripture says they can't because of this chasm, this gulf. Those who want to get out of hell, they can't because of this gulf. I don't know what it looks like. All I know is it's there. They can't get out. There's no getting out. As I stated earlier, the man that we're talking about, Steve, he's still there. He's still there. He's still begging for one drop of water. One drop of water. One drop of water. Church, do you understand that this man, while alive, begged for nothing? Nor did he lend a hand to those who did beg. Do you see that all humility this morning is gone? All pride is gone? All arrogance is gone? This rich man had now become a beggar. Had everything in life. And because of the decisions that he made while he was here on this earth, he could not blame anybody. Do you see a blame game going on here? Do you see him saying, it's not my fault? No. All that's gone. This morning, he has become a beggar. After we see this, church, we see he has a new direction of begging. After he sees that there's a mighty gulf and there's no way that he can walk through or somebody can come to him, we see a new direction. We see a new direction of begging when he found out that he couldn't leave or nobody could come to him. Look at verse 27. Verse 27 says this. Then he, being the rich man, said, I pray you therefore. What would have been different if he would have prayed while he was alive? Isn't that when he should have prayed? While he was alive? Isn't that what he should have professed when he was alive? Now, hey, listen, the rich man is now praying. He says, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Well, what happened? Church, do you see that in his lifetime, he could have been, he should have been that witness to his brothers. But now he is begging for someone to go and witness to them from the dead. This man, this rich man who had everything, anything, he could have hired a priest for himself. Now he's begging, Father Abraham, listen, I want you to send somebody to my brothers. Begging. Please send somebody to my brothers. Church, listen to me. The dead are dead and can walk with the living no more. Your chance to be a witness is now. You will never get that chance ever again. And chances are that if you are not willing to do God's calling right now, you, just like this man's brothers, will suffer the same fate. Somebody needs to hear your witness. Somebody needs to hear your testimony. Somebody needs to hear how Jesus changed your life. Somebody needs to see it on your face every single day. Do you realize that somebody's fate might be determined by your decision? Now, we can't totally blame these man's, you know, we don't know what happened to these five brothers, or these four brothers, five brothers, how many of you had, on this rich man. It's a decision that we have to make individually. But church, listen, God saved my soul that I might be a witness to every person I encounter. And that's my family as well. Do you hear me? And if I'm not living it, I'm not living it. Listen, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, listen, there's a fair chance that you're going to live a life just like this rich man. Well, I've got everything. I don't really need Jesus. I'll just come hang out with the wife, and when she comes to church, you know, I'll go to church, and I'll play the role pretty good. You know, I'll dress right and act right and look right, and you know, I'll you know, if somebody ever asks me, yeah, I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, but I'm still going to live the way I want to live. Somebody who's watching you needs Jesus. Do you get that? And if they don't see Jesus in you, they're going to wind up in the same place of torment that we're seeing this man today. And chances are, when you finally wind up there, you're going to have the same conversation. You're going to say, listen, I was wrong. Please send somebody to my family's house to warn them. Why don't you wake up this morning and warn them yourself? Why? Well, I don't believe in hell. That doesn't mean you're not going. Hell is real. All humility was gone. What is it? What is it then that'll make a difference? What is it that'll draw sinners to Jesus? Church, if all it takes is for somebody, because this is what he was asking for. He's saying, listen, send somebody from the dead. Church, if the dead can't talk anymore, I mean, what, if they could talk, you know, is that all it takes? Could he be right? Is all that a lost person in all the world needs is to hear somebody from the dead? My answer to that question would be no. It takes much more. What would be enough? Do you want proof that people have seen and heard from people from the dead and still hadn't accepted Christ? I can show you in Scripture. John chapter 11 tells us of another man named Lazarus who died. It was Mary and Martha's brother. And Jesus came to him 4 days later. He was raised from the dead. Scripture tells us they were wanting to stone him and Jesus. They didn't fall down and multiple, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people accept Christ as their personal Savior because of a dead man rose from the dead grave. I mean, this is what the rich man's wanting. He's saying, listen, send somebody to my brother's house. If they'll just see somebody from the dead, they'll repent and they won't come to this place of torment. That's not true. That's not true. Well, here's another one. How about Jesus? Jesus came back from the dead. We've been talking about that Wednesday night class. Jesus came back from the dead. Y'all realize that, right? Over 500 people saw him. He walked around for 40 days. He ate. He drank. He submitted himself. And yet they still wouldn't believe. We don't see thousands and thousands and thousands of people, Brother Frank, accepting Christ because Jesus walked around for 40 days. No, we don't see that. Listen, there's another one. How about the testimony of this man in hell this morning? Should this not ring our bells? Should this not grab our attention? Should this not just rattle our cages and make us aware? This is a man's testimony from hell. Thousands of people should accept Christ, but they won't. Church, if all it would take for all humanity to accept Christ as their personal Savior is for them to see someone who returned from the dead, every person in the world would be saved. Every person. Because Scripture gives evidence of it happening. What is it? What is it then that will make the difference? What is it that will draw sinners to Jesus that we know? I believe the answer is much easier than we're willing to accept, church. What it is that will take to win our loved ones to Jesus is for us to be what the rich man was trying to be for his brothers in hell. Church, we need to be the witness God has called us to be right now. Today. Today. Do you hear the testimony? Do you hear the crying? Do you see the pain? Do you hear the torment in this man's voice? Do you see that he went from a rich man to a beggar to a bold evangelist in one chapter? Why don't we open our eyes today, right now, and start being the witness God created us to be? Church, listen. This is the last thing I'm going to say, then I'm going to be done. Will you right now admit to God what He already knows? God, I have not been the witness you have. I should have been for you for a long time. Please, Lord, forgive me of the past and help me from this point forward to be the witness you've created me to be. Now listen, if there's somebody here this morning and you're lost and you know it, I'll beg you, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. I am willing to beg you, do not go to hell. Because if you go to hell, you're going to be just like this man. You're going to be a beggar. It doesn't matter how much you have in this life, I promise you. When you die, you're going to beg. You're going to beg for water. You're going to beg for one drop of water. You're going to beg for the torment to end. You're going to beg for somebody to come get you out, and it's never going to come. Why not take care of that now? Why not accept Jesus as your personal Savior now? Why put it off? Why do you keep putting it off? We heard of two tragedies this morning. You're not promised tomorrow. Why wait? Why roll the dice? Why keep playing a game with Jesus? When you take your last breath, you'll have no other chance. All you'll do is beg for mercy that'll never come. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for loving us enough to warn us about hell. We thank you that you've loved us enough that you gave us a personal testimony of someone who is in hell, that we might be forever changed, God, if we'll pay attention, if we'll listen. God, I pray that your Spirit would walk amongst us right now. Give us clarity of thought. Move us, Lord, in a way that you never have before. God, it's time to get serious about who you are and what you want to do in our lives. It's time for us to get serious about our service to you. Lord, when we stand before you and you look at us and you ask us, why did you not serve me better? What answer are we going to give? Lord, there's people around us every day that are dying and going to this place called hell. Help us today take a stand for you and say, Lord, from here on out, I'm going to be the witness you created me to be. Thank you, Lord, for your witness. Thank you for this message. Thank you for this man, Lord, that we see his testimony. We don't have to be this way, Lord. This is your invitation. I pray that you bless it. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?